The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by... we'll get back to you on that. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under ToyWorldOrder. We're your host, I'm Duvall. That's Dave Draper.
Yay!
Welcome to the San Diego Comic-Con stay-at-home week stuff where nothing's happening.
And
Yay! I was seeing tweets last night. And people were tweeting, tonight should have been preview night.
I'm like, no.
This happened last year too, people. It's not that sad, really. It's okay. Let San Diego Comic-Con die and be gone for a while. It's okay.
I don't want it to die. I want it to calm the hell down.
I want it to die.
Why do you want it to die?
Fuck that show.
That show
gave me kidney stones. Like, legit gave me kidney stones.
Did it give you kidney stones, or did your terrible, terrible diet while you were on vacation give you kidney stones?
Might have been both. I blame the show. I blame the show and the stress behind the show.
I mean, look. Like, it blew up too big. It became... I mean, when the Cleveland show, back when there was a Cleveland show...
Oh, I missed the Cleveland show.
Did a whole episode about how the San Diego Comic-Con got co-opted by the quasi-normies. You know, I mean, it needs to go back to what it was.
Yeah, I agree.
Like focus on just nerd stuff as opposed to, like, you know...
Hey, remember when Comic-Con was about comics? Those were good days.
I'm not even sure. Well, I'm not even that old.
The first Chicago Comic-Con I ever went to didn't have any media panels. Like, it was just a comic show.
I don't know about panels. I know that the first one that I went to had, like, David Prowse.
There were people there, they weren't, like... A couple of years after, I went to my first Chicago, when it was still Chicago Comic-Con before it became Chicago Wizard World. The first Chicago Comic-Con I went to was in 98.
That was way after I went.
Yeah.
Because I think I went in 93 or 94. It was right after I graduated college.
And then we'd go back, we'd be back every year for a little while and then stock like a couple times every once in a while. But my bachelor party was Chicago Comic-Con.
Wow.
It was like the last Chicago Comic-Con before it became Wizard World. But that was also the year that was the same year they did the panel on The Dark Knight at Chicago, because they had filmed in Chicago.
Yeah, some of it.
So they did that panel there where they introduced the first footage and trailer, and everybody got these shirts and stuff to wear, and then at the end of the trailer, when they revealed the Joker and the footage, the lights went out and the black lights sprung up, and everybody had ha 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 written on their shirts.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. And then it became a bastardized version of itself when Wizard was like, let's do conventions, but make it Wizardy. And then Wizard went under, and then they were like, we're still doing conventions! And everybody went,
Yeah.
And then C2E2 was like, we're going to do a better one. And everyone was like, yay. And then everyone was like,
Well, I haven't been to that one in dog's age. When they got too snooty.
When we weren't good enough for press badges anymore.
We've been backing them from the start, and suddenly we weren't big enough.
Yeah, no shit. It's like, hey, it's kind of like Toy Man. Remember when we used to be able to get tables for all the free press we'd give Toy Man?
A little bit.
And then all of a sudden it's like, I don't have any tables to give you guys. But our deal. What about our deal? Oh, yeah, I'm not doing it anymore. Oh, okie dokie.
Okay, then.
Well, then.
Yeah, you always handled that stuff.
I got in a huge fight with him.
Did you?
Not over that. Well, okay, it might have kind of been over that. But I was angry because I'm like, for like months in a row, I kept trying to get a table and kept getting denied. And I was like, dude, just move the show to a bigger damn place. You can put more dealers in. You make more money. We all make more money. Everyone's fucking happy. And that's when he was like, I can't. This is where my dad put on his shows and it's family. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, sentimentality's great. But at some point you got to go, well, we've had our memories here. It's time to go to somewhere bigger and better.
I mean, there is an element. Like, sentimentality's has its place.
Yes.
Business should be business.
I agree. Well, Dave and I later we watched all of Masters of the Universe Revelation. Well, the first five episodes.
Is it five or six? It's, no, it's five.
It was five. It's a 10-episode thing. So we watched part one, which debuted today.
I guess. Sure.
Dave is mad at me for making him sit through all of it.
Mildly. It was not... I mean, I was...
We'll talk more about it towards the end of the show.
It was just... I could have... I didn't hate it, for the record. I could have lived without seeing it.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Mezco revealed some Comic-Con at home stuff this year, including two new Dick Tracy 1/12 scale figures of Flat Top and Dick Tracy himself. We got a 1/12 collective Joker Gotham by Gaslight, which we'll look at the pictures here in a minute.
Ooh. Wait, it was in Gotham by Gaslight.
No?
It literally ends with him getting a notice from Gordon like, so we've got this guy who, this guy who keeps marrying rich widows and murdering him with strychnine, and just as we arrested him, he took some of it himself, but he didn't die. Happy-looking little Jasper, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's how that ends. They probably did a sequel because they ruin everything. Yeah. But
A 5 points Ultraman, basically Ultra 7 and Alien Metron box set.
Sure.
And then a Living Dead Dolls Presents Halloween 3 Season of the Witch box set.
That fits.
So we get, here's your Joker Gotham by Gaslight based on the...
A guy.
That image,
Conrad Veidt.
Yep, is the smiling man or
man who laughs?
The man who laughs. Yes,
it's why they call the evil Joker Batman the Batman who laughs.
Yep,
and that's also where the Heath Ledger Joker got the scars from.
Yeah. So, but this this version of the Joker is very much taken from the man who laughs.
I mean, all of them are.
I know, but that's like dead on. And then Ultraman, Ultra 7. There's our little.
Oh no.
Yeah. And there's Flat Top's. Flat Top's kind of nice looking.
Yeah, it looks like Flat Top.
Chester Gould, classic art looking style. Living Dead Dolls, Halloween dolls are cool.
It's appropriate.
It is appropriate.
Another Ultraman.
Yep, Ultraman. And then Dick Tracy.
Wow.
I always love Chester Gould's art, like his style.
Because he's generally considered not one of the better artists.
But he's the one that created Dick. I mean, he created Dick Tracy.
I mean, the comic's a classic. But his art's very kind of clunky and primitive.
It's simplistic, and I always thought that fit a lot of those villains and characters really well.
Oh, well, that was his shtick. He's generally credited with the idea of making a character's outward appearance be a mirror of the kind of ugliness of his soul inside.
Of his soul inside, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, that makes sense.
I mean, he gets the credit for that. I don't know if he came up with it.
But. I gotcha. And then on day two, Mezco revealed a 1/12 collective Spider-Man 2099, a 1/12 collective G.I. Joe Firefly, and 5 points Popeye and Bullo Oxheart box set. So if you've ever seen the live-action Popeye movie, Oxheart is the boxer that...
I'm pretty sure that's from the Thimble Theater, too.
Yeah, it is.
I'm pretty sure the movie... Because by that point nobody remembered Thimble Theater,
right?
But it was weirdly faithful to the original comic strip.
Yeah, it's a neat little box set, 5 points of articulation, yeah. Guys. They did a really good job at the sculpting on those. Spider-Man 2099 is nice looking, and then Firefly, we just get a face.
Firefly looks good, though.
Yeah.
That's a good sculpt.
Yeah, it is a good sculpt.
You probably can get that a hell of a lot easier than the freaking Hasbro one.
Well, that's true. That's true. Jada Toys had teased this earlier this year. We might have mentioned it, but we finally got pictures of their General Mills serial characters. Most notably, Count Chocula and Frankenberry. So we are getting figures of Count Chocula and Frankenberry.
Okay.
And they look mighty cute. Spectacular. Yeah. I know people are upset because there's no Booberry.
Maybe that's Wave 2.
That's good.
Seriously, because there was a werewolf one, too.
Yeah, there was. I can't remember what cereal he had.
I can't remember either. John would know it.
Count Chocula, Frankenberries, and Booberry were the three most popular ones, though.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Those will...
Jason, I'm a child of the 70s and early 80s. I know this stuff.
You can pre-order them at Entertainment Earth right now, so
yeah.
There's going to be some fun stuff there. Looks like J.J. Abrams' Bad Robot Company, the little robot at the end of all his title cards, is getting a premium action figure from Mattel. All right. Die-cast and plastic figure will be 7.25 inches tall. Will include a plastic display base. And the head, torso, legs, and feet are made of heavy die-cast metal. It'll have premium finish with 24 points of articulation. The back panel of the head can be removed to reveal Bad Robot's true inner workings. The packaging design is inspired by vintage comic mail-in advertisements of yesteryear, which really wasn't that yesteryear-y
ago. That was pretty yesteryear.
Yeah. It's available on Mattel Creations' website now. I always thought that little robot was cute.
Sure. Well, I mean, honestly, he looks like a reject from the actual movie robots.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, the packaging's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very neat. Very cool. Sure. Probably all the money. Let's let us take a gander at just how much the Bad Robot is. Oh, $100. Well, that's not terrible.
Oh, my God.
$100 for a 7-inch figure.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
For an obscure title card logo character who J.J. is not exactly beloved by the fandom.
No.
Yeah, you bet you sell a ton of those.
Yeah. There was a Mattel, a crowdfunder they've launched for WWE, which I thought was kind of neat.
Mattel's doing it now, too.
Yeah, WWE Ultimate Edition New Generation Arena. For anyone not familiar with the WWE's New Generation, it was after the cartoony 80s. It was the early 90s, basically. Just before they went to the Attitude Era, they tried the New Generation. So it was guys like Diesel and Doink the Clown and Shawn Michaels. But they're doing a ring set, basically, that is a entryway that actually has like little light up LEDs. So a little entryway will light up. It comes with an exclusive Diesel figure. It comes with the rings. The ring is where it gets really cool because the ring has removable steps. It has turnbuckles, like real metal turnbuckles with real cloth pads that like snap together. It looks like they're riveted, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yeah.
And then the ring is where I enjoy because the ring, you can tear the ring down to the actual boards.
Oh, nice.
So the boards are all separate like they would be on a real wrestling ring.
Oh,
which,
okay.
Which to me is awesome because I put together many of ring like that. So
never really knew what was underneath the...
Yeah, that's what you're seeing. Of course, podcast being a visual medium.
Yeah.
Basically, a wrestling ring, as I explain it, as Dave and I look, it is a square, metal structure.
I think people know what like a boxing ring and a wrestling ring.
Well, wrestling ring is different though because rings.
Look, I get it might be structurally different, but visually it's basically
The ring that I put together was, you know, you would put the poles down, you would put the beams on the poles, and then
that's the square with ropes.
Yeah, basically. Well, and then you'd have all of these more slender metal beams that slid in, so you'd have, you had three, so you had like 18 one way, and then four going the other way. So when you hit it, when you put the boards on top of it and hit it, you get this bounce effect.
Yeah, and I always knew there was something, with the wrestling rings, I knew there was something with the construction of the floor that gave it a bounce.
Yeah.
But I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah, it gives it, lessens the impact.
Yeah, so you don't die horribly.
Yeah, because you're basically getting slammed on a half inch of padding and then 2x4s, basically. But there's some new tiers. This ends on August 22nd. They need 632. They need 5,000 backers. They've gotten 632.
There's a lot of empty bar space on that.
Yeah, there is. I don't think it's going to go through, honestly. The two tiers they've shown... the first tier is an Ultimate Edition Doink the Clown figure.
Okay.
I hate Doink the Clown. And then Unlockable 2 are swappable ring skirts with different logos on them. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Interesting to see if it goes through or not because, well... But yes, Mattel is now doing the crowdfunding thing because they're like, well, Hasbro's doing it. Kickstarter's doing it. Why the hell won't we do it? We should be doing it too! And then they all did it together. And one hot, sweaty orgy of a crowdfunding extravaganza. A lot of Barbies on Mattel Creation's site. Anyway, moving
on. Well, Barbie's a big fan.
Barbie is a big thing. Mattel's WWE 2021 Comic-Con at home panel, speaking of WWE, showed off some WWE Hollywood, retro Masters of the WWE, and more. So here's the breakdown of the panel. They showed off new Elite collections. for figures for Rey Mysterio, Matt Riddle, Trish Stratus, who also gets a chase, the Zodiac, Adam Cole, who gets a chase figure, Sergeant Slaughter, SummerSlam 1981, and Nia Jax with a new head sculpt. She'll have a chase. The Goon, Bill Irwin, with a soft good hockey jersey, as well as alternative hockey glove hands. Dominic Mysterio, Hulk Hogan from SummerSlam match against Shawn Michaels, RVD. Elite Collection early sneak peeks were the burnt version of The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, Chainsaw Charlie, Raquel Gonzalez, and somebody in Gladiator gear. I'd have to see the picture. They didn't catch the name. Bianca Belair, Royal Rumble Elites, Earthquake, Big E, Dakota Kai, Yokozuna, and Jimmy Hart build a figure. WrestleMania Elites, AJ Styles from his Boneyard match with Undertaker, and a build a figure Vince McMahon from WrestleMania 3 with his hand showing three figures. Welcome to WrestleMania 3! We get it, Vince. Thank you. There's a Ringside Collectibles Elite Collection, Tommaso Ciampa from NXT.
Get to the Ciampa.
There'll be WWE Legends Series 12 figures, which will include Billy Gunn, Junkyard Dog, Kevin Nash, Roddy Piper, which is up for pre-order right now at Target, which means it'll all get canceled. WWE Legends 13.
I don't know if Target cancels stuff. I know Walmart cancels stuff. Target just sells out fast.
That's true.
As far as I know.
Yeah. WWE Legends 13 will be DX Triple H, Jake the Snake Roberts with a WCW Chase version, Cowboy Bob Orton, and The Hurricane. Ultimate Edition Legends Target exclusive Batista, which will be released in spring of next year. An Ultimate Edition Kane with a soft goods cape. An Ultimate Edition Undertaker with a caped cloak. Fan Takeover Ultimate Edition WrestleMania 5 Ultimate Warrior Amazon exclusive. That's a fucking mouthful.
Yeah.
Masters of the WWE will end with Wave 8. Aww. With Stone Cold Steve Austin as Trapjaw, Rey Mysterio Stratos, and Princess of Power China.
Huh. She should have been Catra.
Yeah. WWE Superstars, which will use the same body style as Motu figures, which will be Walmart exclusives. So these are basically same style figures, just not Motu wrestling. Bray Wyatt with his Mad Hatter gear, Ric Flair, NWO Hulk Hogan, the Honky Tonk Man. They'll come in retro-like packaging. WWE Hollywood Elite movie figures are also Walmart exclusives. WWE Superstars from Big and Small Screen roles. Wave 1 has The Rock from Hobbs and Shaw. John Cena's from his recent Fast 9. Roddy Piper from his role in They Live. Those will go up for pre-order at Walmart Saturday, tomorrow. Hollywood Elite Wave 2 will be The Rock from Scorpion King, Roman Reigns from Hobbs and Shaw, and Andre the Giant as Bigfoot from The Bionic Man.
Yeah.
WWE Retro will be offered as a bundle at Mattel Creations. Piper, Mean Gene, Cowboy Bob Orton, and Mr. T will be on individual cards and packaged in shipper box with retro graphics. And then the Ultimate Arena, which we just talked about, they discussed. But I'm kind of curious to see. Yeah, Ultimate Edition Kane with a cape he wore once.
You obviously don't collect Star Wars figures.
I know, right? I do not.
They have a Vince McMahon who made a hand gesture once in like the 1980s.
Welcome to WrestleMania 3!
And yet you remember that.
I do.
To be fair.
I do. I know, it's so sad. Oh yeah, here we go. There's your retro in the Motu style, but they're just like, yeah, they're supposed to look like the Remco style figures is what they're going for now. Which kind of makes me sad that Motu's WWE's ending.
I mean, you can never find them.
That's true.
And I mean,
that's true. I never could. I'm not sure who the Gladiator guy is supposed to be. I can't. That's not a great picture of him.
Which one's the Gladiator
This
guy?
One here on the left. That's the burnt version of the Fiend.
All
right. Yeah, it's weird. Almost looks like he's got The Rock's face, but I can't tell for sure. Oh, yeah. There's Roddy Piper. He even comes with the sunglasses. Son of a bitch.
Nice.
That's pretty sweet. Doink the Clown is one of the tiers. Undertaker, Bianca Belair, Big E, Yokozuna. Oh, they don't. Oh, there we go. There's the Sasquatch. Yeah. Dave was like, "Why is the Sasquatch from Bionic Man there?" I'm like, "Well, because he was." Oh, there we go. Okay, China, She-Ra. Yeah, another Rey Mysterio Stratos, and a single card at Austin finally, because the only way you could get Austin was in that ring 2-pack with the Snake Mountain ring. Neat. He is the Bionic Redneck. Oh, and I guess they actually are bringing back retro figures. Like, the actual, like, Hasbro WWE retro figures. Okay, that's what those are. With the Mean Gene, Mr. T, Roddy, and Cowboy Bob Orton. All right, well. Thanks, WWE. At least I know I don't have to look for a lot of those anymore. Hasbro also is bringing out some more retro Power Rangers stuff. This time, a retro version of the Ninjor Fliphead figure from the Retro Morphin line. Ninjor, of course, was one of the...
He was a master of a universe guy.
Well, Ninjor, there is a Masters Classics version, but of that of a character with that same name. But Ninjor was the Power Rangers ninja force. He was like one of the Zords, I think. I think Ninjor was a Zord. Shit, I don't know. I've never watched that series, not that version. But I remember the toy. The toy was big and clunky and had that same kind of special feature where it's like, here's a ninja head. No, he's got a big thing on his head now. Yay!
Okay.
And speaking of Power Rangers,
More.
Iron Studios is showing off a new line of 1/10 scale statues based on Saban's Power Rangers. Featuring the colorful heroes in a diorama setting at the command center, the group's headquarters with Zordon and his LED light tube as the central figure. Each figure stands on a base in the form of a metallic floor filled with technological artifacts. Each polystunt statue measures approximately 6 to 9 inches tall, will each be priced at $149.99. So in order to create that, because it is red, yellow, black, blue, pink, green, and white Rangers.
Wait.
Yeah. Those are all individuals.
Green and white are the same guy.
I know, it's crazy.
Even I know that about
No, Power well, they're Ranger. Both the popular versions of the same guy, so Iron Studios has got to include them.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's Do expensive. They? That's expensive.
Do they?
Mafex from Mediacom. Try that again. Mafex. I can never say that. Showed off some new DC Comics characters, this one being Wonder Woman 84, the Golden Armor Wonder Woman figure.
Yeah.
So another version of that character.
She wore that for like a hot minute in that movie.
Yeah. And then we're also getting a Superman Cyborg. So classic comic version from the Return of Superman.
Yeah.
So that was always one of my favorite characters from that run.
Cyborg Superman?
Yeah.
Hims was a bad guy.
I know, he turned out to be the villain. Walmart is getting a new 2-pack exclusive from Well Played Toys, this time based on the Netflix series Lost in Space. You'll be able to find a 6-inch robot and Will Christ. Robinson figure.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Series 2 is coming, I think.
Is it? That show was like before the pandemic.
Yeah. But we are, you'll be able to get a 2-pack of the Lost in Space robot and Will Robinson. So.
Oh, goody.
Yeah. Loyal Subjects showed off a new 4-pack for TMNT. This one they're calling Black and White Battle Damage. It is a Walmart exclusive.
Yay.
They don't look
so
great.
Be sure to order it and then absolutely count on it showing up.
Well, these are those little cheap looking figures that they've been making. I don't know if you've seen them, but like the Beetlejuice animated figure is this line. And they did some Lord of the Rings figures like this.
Like 5 inches. It's not a proper scale.
Yeah, so they're doing another turtle line that's black and white. They don't look great. They don't really look great.
They look fine.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that literally anybody needs another line of turtle figures.
Probably not.
Aren't there like... Because there's Super 7, right? They do the Ultimates.
Yeah, Super 7.
Someone else is doing... Is it Mezco? There's another company that's doing turtle figures. Like that are retro figures.
Oh, who else? Playmates is releasing more.
Well, I mean, Playmates.
Super 7.
Because there's another one I always get confused with.
Mezco?
Maybe Mezco.
I don't remember now. For anyone who bought the Rocketeer 7-inch figure from Diamond Select Toys, they revealed they're re-releasing that figure. This time in a deluxe VHS packaging.
Okay.
So it'll be the figure with some new... I think he comes with some new stuff, like a partially open front shirt from earlier from the film. He's got some blast effects for his jetpack, some extra hands, and a flying base.
Okay, NECA's doing them. Turtles.
That's right, NECA's Turtles line. That's right. What's one we're forgetting? But it's very much in the Rocketeer packaging, of course, is the...
Yeah, I guess I get it.
I mean, it's cool, but I don't know if it's...
I guess I get it. Yeah. I don't know, because, I mean, I understand the movie came out... God, the movie came out in, like, the late 80s.
No, it was 90s.
Was it 90s? Well, it was
early 90s.
I might have been still in high school.
Because I think it was the summer after Batman.
Yeah, it probably was. So that would have been 90.
I think.
I remember who I saw
it. 91.
It can't have been 91.
91. Summer of 91.
God.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I know who I saw it with, and I didn't think I was still hanging out with him in 91.
Really?
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah, point being, like, I don't know. The movie's set in the 40s. It's just a weird... I don't know. It's a weird... It kind of makes sense, but it also feels weird to put it in a VHS.
True.
Clamshell. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. Very true.
Yeah.
All right. We got some new G.I. Joe 3¾-inch retro figures that are up for pre-order at Walmart that kind of had been leaked earlier this week. Grunt, Stalker, Cobra Trooper, a new version, the Hiss version 3, and then a Cobra Officer.
Yeah. People, I think, have these because I've seen pictures.
Yeah, the Hiss 3 is out. People have found it on the shelves and been like, what the hell?
Eh.
But it's just another version of the Hiss.
It's a blue instead of black.
Yep. It's Shockwave colors.
Kinda. And you got the Cobra officer and the regular soldier.
Yeah.
The trooper. You know, if I found them at retail, I might pick them up.
Grunt.
Yeah. But I will never find them at retail.
And then a Stalker.
Yeah.
And they don't show Stalker.
Oh, well,
that's racist.
It is. I wasn't going to say that, but it kind of is.
It's kind of racist. They're like, here's all the white guys.
Actually, yes.
You can't have the black guy, though. What the hell? But
one of the better characters in the entire story.
Thanks a lot, Walmart.
Okay.
G.I. Joe also Three Zeros, Fig Zeros line.
Oh, my God.
I know. Showed off a camel version. Camel? Holy crap.
It could be a camel version.
Camo version of their 1/6 scale Storm Shadow.
Maybe he went undercover in the Middle East.
But he's got camo, and he comes with a bunch of weapons, and it's the same snake Storm Shadow we've had before.
He's got a big hump.
But he does
have... Actually, you know, Thur, there is a military backpack for carrying water called the camel hump.
Yes.
So it could be the camel version.
It's interesting. He's got the Urashikagi logo instead of the Cobra logo on his chest.
Okay.
Which is kind of neat.
That is the... I mean, maybe it's swappable.
It might be.
Because he does switch sides.
Well, that's true.
Actually, my favorite version of Storm Shadow is the Joe version. Because I think it looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the hood. Because he's got the hood. The Joe version.
This version hood, basically.
Yeah. It's that version. Because he's also got the urban camo.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's the good guy Storm Shadow.
Was that when they were doing Ninja Force?
No, that was before Ninja Force.
Was that before Ninja Force?
Way the hell before Ninja Force. Ninja Force is when everything got, like, fell to pieces and got ridiculous.
Yeah, I gotcha.
That was after the whole thing about who really killed the Hard Master and the big confrontation, it was Zartan because he was trying to kill Snake Eyes.
Because
Snake Eyes,
which is interesting because they actually use that in the films.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's sort of like when they do a Batman film, his parents get murdered.
Yeah.
It's Snake Eyes' origin. They did it in the bad movie. They're doing it in this movie. I don't know if they're going to... I assume a Hard Master will get killed in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because Zartan...
Maybe we'll get a Zartan in this movie.
Because what happened was... Cobra Commander's brother was driving drunk and hit this family on their way to the airport to pick up their son, who was coming home from Vietnam. And he killed everybody in the car, but he died too. And poor Snake Eyes was waiting at that airport forever. And for some reason, Cobra Commander blamed him? Even though it was his brother's fault. So he hired Zartan to track him down and kill him. Zartan had this unique ability. He actually had a technological bow that could, like, detect your heartbeat, your unique heartbeat.
Oh, really?
And then the Hard Master was teaching Storm Shadow this technique where he could mimic anybody's heartbeat.
Oh.
And so Storm Shadow shot him by mistake. Or Zartan shot him by mistake. But they thought it was Storm Shadow because he was jealous of Snake Eyes' natural talent.
I've never read a lot of those early Marvel stuff.
That's mid.
Is it?
Yeah, that's mid to late.
Huh. I'll be damned. I did not know that.
No.
I'm not up on the Marvel Comics lore of G.I. Joe. I know you've got them all, like, collected.
Sadly, I don't. They quit right after the Civil War arc.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, whatever it's called. Not Boom. IGN?
IDW.
IDW. Quit. Like, they've never kept up with it. Which
no
is
shit.
Really crappy.
That sucks.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, let's get to the parts that I don't actually have issues of.
Mm.
Oh, no, let's just...
No, we're just going to stop.
We're bankrupt for some reason.
The other G.I. Joe announcement that's going to be pre-order at HasbroPulse.com is Mego versions of G.I. Joe characters. Actual Mego versions. So we get a Mego...
Well, not actual Mego versions, because Mego went under in the early 1980s.
No, you realize Mego's back, right? They're their own company again. Like, Marty Abrams owns that name again.
I'm doing air quotes. It's like TSR's back.
I know.
Like, these people bring back these old things and then go, it's really us. It's not really you.
No, but we get Mego versions of Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes.
Why?
I don't know.
You realize the kids in the 80s who grew, or kids in the 70s who grew up with Migos are not the kids for... I am that rare middle part of the Venn diagram.
Yeah.
And I have no interest in this because Mego was one thing and G.I. Joe was another.
Here's what's happening is that
They want to capitalize on this any way they can.
Hasbro and Mattel have realized now that if they also, not only do they do their own versions of their toys, but also license out their properties to other companies.
They get free money.
They get free money, basically. So and that is
what's
happening.
So this is being done by Mego, not Hasbro.
But it's going to be available on HasbroPulse.com.
That's confusing.
Yes.
That's why I was confused. I thought it was Hasbro doing it.
Nope.
Again, I don't.
The 2-pack is $60.
You know, okay, that's terrible.
Yeah,
the irony is, I like G.I. Joe, and I don't dislike those characters. I think they're, you know, and obviously in the comic, they were the main characters, really.
Yeah.
They're not my favorite characters.
Yeah.
I'm not particularly excited to go see them. Even if it had gotten good reviews, which it didn't.
No, Snake Eyes has not gotten good reviews.
I was not excited to go see this movie.
No.
Because Snake Eyes is not my favorite. Like, he's a good character. He's an interesting character. Of course, he's not the character in the movie because he's, like, not... He hasn't made the horrible sacrifice yet.
Yeah.
He talks.
He's,
you know, he's generic hero guy who maybe one day will be Snake Eyes.
Yes. Ugh.
Yeah. Hopefully,
it almost sounds like it's another G.I. Joe movie, but it would have been a great movie had it not been a G.I. Joe movie.
Had it not been a G.I. Joe movie. And I'm really hoping, because I know that they do his a little bit of his origin thing, I'm really hoping we don't have the trend of the cool guy being an annoying little wiener kid. I'm a scared little boy. Yeah. It's ironic that I'll grow up to be a badass.
Yeah.
Like Batman and Darth Vader and Wolverine and... Ugh.
I
hate that trope.
I know. One of the other 3-0 announcements was a new Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Fig-Zero.
I missed it.
Lord Drakkon, which is the evil version of Tommy.
Ooh.
Oh, no. The evil version of Tommy. He's got both... Both the Dragon Dagger and the White Tiger Slaver. Oh, no.
The Slaver?
Slaver.
You've been hitting the booze early, getting ready for the G.I. Joe?
I gotta get myself ready somehow.
White Tiger. I mean, I hear if you're a Power Rangers fan, that's a good story arc.
Yeah, yeah. And then
I am not.
An announcement from NECA that showed up on Walmart's site that there's no pictures for, and no one has any idea what the hell's going on, because it probably hasn't been announced yet by NECA, and Walmart just jumped the gun. But
that doesn't sound like them.
NECA apparently is doing a new 2-pack of April O'Neil and Casey Jones from the farm
sequence
in the film. So we'll get new figures of April and Casey in the farm.
I mean, you know, you're a big Turtles movie fan, so that's probably neat.
Yeah, it's cool to see.
I mean, if I were a bigger Turtles fan, I'd be really excited about it. I mean, I'd be excited but frustrated because it's a Walmart exclusive.
Yeah.
But, I don't care.
Yeah. I just don't.
What are we doing now?
Just making sure there's no other news, like, floating around anywhere.
On Facebook?
Yeah. Sometimes stuff gets thrown up on Facebook.
All right.
But, doesn't look like it.
I'll just sit here.
Yay. You sit there.
All right.
Well,
There's no Loki news
because Loki's done. Season one's done.
Season one's
done. Dave and I are going to go see Snake Eyes tonight, so we'll be talking about that
next week.
Hopefully
picked up on my excitement.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Everybody's like, what are you doing tonight? I'm like, going to the movies. It's probably going to be a terrible movie, but I'm going.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see it.
You know, we could get one good one in before it all ends again. Yeah. Black Widow was okay.
Yeah.
Actually, it was fine.
Yeah. But Dave and I will, we're going to do a little bit of a discussion on the first 5 episodes of Master Universe Revelation. So if you haven't watched it, you don't want to be spoiled, or you just don't give a crap, turn the show off. We'll be back next week.
I have to go with cancer here.
That's right. So Dave and I set through the first 5 episodes of Master Universe Revelation.
Yeah.
Here are my takeaways from it.
I'm curious.
There are some very interesting aspects to the story. The deaths in the show don't bother me as much as they seem to bother other people.
All right, okay, let's backtrack a little bit about that.
Yes.
Would you consider yourself a very big Masters of the Universe fan, per se?
I mean, I...
Because I've never really thought... I know that I don't like it. You've never... Like you know, because you got Danny on one side of the scale. You got right. me on the other side of the scale.
Right.
You've got some toys. I think I have more Masters toys than you do.
I mean, I grew up with the property. I watched the cartoon show. You know,
I'm just curious, like, if you are really, you know, because the deaths didn't necessarily affect me that much either. But like, I don't care.
I think so. The death of Orko was well handled because I think they finally.
No, that was deliberate. That whole thing was Kevin Smith has said on record.
Yeah.
That everybody hated Orko, and he wanted to make Orko a character that you liked and really sort of rooted for.
And then felt bad.
And then felt bad when he died.
Yes.
And
I like how that was handled.
It was okay.
You know.
I think my problem was I went into the show knowing this, so I sort of had my antenna up.
Yeah, for, you knew what was happening.
Yeah. And it felt a little forced.
The, you know... People are talking about how, you know, I find it funny. We were discussing this, and I was like,
You're doing that mean thing where you shove me away.
I was like, Kevin Smith didn't really lie. He-Man's in every episode.
Sort of.
I mean, technically, he's in every episode.
Early on, like the first couple episodes, there's 5 episodes, but they keep doing these flashbacks to wacky adventures that they had back in the day.
Yeah.
Inform what's going on. It's like a Alan Moore kind of thing. We have a flashback.
They predicate what's to come.
Basically. Yeah, you have a flashback, and then suddenly you're in the same spot years later. Kind of shtick.
Yeah.
Except the flashback is wacky, happy, Filmation adventure times, and now it's everything's garbage.
Yeah.
And misery.
I was okay with it being a Teela story for the first 5 episodes.
Okay.
I mean, it was and it wasn't. Like... Yes, she was basically the main...
She was
the main character.
She was the main character even before, spoiler alert, He-Man died.
Yeah.
Like, it was all about her.
I was okay with that. People are real pissed about it. And I'm like, technically, it's...
Again, let me be clear. A lot of my arguments on these are more like my understanding of other people's things rather than my own feelings.
Yeah.
Because I really don't care.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care. I don't have that. It's not like a Star Wars thing or a G.I. Joe thing where I have I'll come back next week and have definite opinions about how they handled the Baroness.
Right.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, because she's my gal. So I'm definitely going to go in there and have opinions.
Right.
I feel like if you were a fan of Masters of the Universe and you were a fan of He-Man, because those are kind of two separate things. They're very interconnected.
Yes.
But, you know, you can be a fan of Masters and not necessarily be a fan of He-Man. But I think, you know, generally you are.
Yeah.
You know, it's like being a fan of Star Wars and not being a fan of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Which I am, actually. Right. But I think you went through the She-Ra thing, and it was a thing, and they did their She-Ra thing, and it's like, it's not for you.
Right.
Okay, fine. Now we've got a He-Man thing coming up. And it's like, oh, good, now it's my turn. Except it's not. It's the Teela show. And it's like, when does He-Man... You know, excuse me, sir. Excuse me. There will be He-Mans in this He-Man franchise, sir.
Yeah.
I've said to you before, I think I've even said this on the air, if it was one of those things where, like, there was an actual movie coming and there was a lot of other He-Man... stuff on the market, and you were getting your He-Man fix,
right.
A Teela show would not in and of itself be a... I don't think fans would have reacted as negatively.
Well,
because this was their. But this was, She-Ra got her show, right. And even whatever you think about the direction they took, she was the co-star of the show.
Yeah.
She and Catra were the main characters,
yeah.
And that's fine because Catra was generally the main villain of that line.
Yeah.
So the She-Ra show featured She-Ra, whether you like the take on it or not. The He-Man show featured Teela.
Eh.
It's like doing a She-Ra show about Glimmer. It's like, okay.
And they technically did that too.
See, I didn't watch the show. But I mean, She-Ra was pretty important in that.
You know, I get those arguments.
So I'm just saying, cool. Like, I can see people being mad about that. You know, and I'm going to maybe talk out of, say something maybe I shouldn't say on the air, but I'm going to say it. So please forgive me, Danny. Danny told you when that first trailer hit,
yeah.
People were going to be mad.
Yeah.
Because he knew what the show was going to be like.
Oh, yeah.
And he saw that trailer, and it was all He-Man all the time.
Yeah.
And he knew.
Yeah, and Danny's like, they're not going to be happy with this. There's literally a lot of people not happy.
And I know
with
you keep
show.
Saying that some panel at PowerCon a couple years ago, Kevin Smith said, no, it's a Teela story.
Well, it wasn't that he said it. It was like the synopsis they gave for that show.
Point being, how
specifically
many people,
said Teela was the one who was going to
how many
restore Eternia.
People followed that. Or
well,
even
I know,
knew,
but.
Like. You know, you do this
but
thing where you
but
just
sir,
assume. But,
if they're a real He-Man fan, sir, they would have watched the panel footage, sir, of
maybe
been a
they,
PowerCon.
You know
sir.
What? I don't necessarily know that you're wrong.
Yeah.
I know. But I just.
But see, that's the thing, is the argument goes both ways. Like,
I'm just saying, I can see why people would be mad at the fact that He-Man is not really. I mean, yeah, he's on screen.
Right.
It's Teela's story. There's also the fact Teela is the worst character in the show.
Oh, yeah, no.
She's
awful. She's a pain in the ass in that show.
And to kind of get on one of my impressions, because we, you know, I kind of derailed your. I was actually far more interested and invested in Evil-Lyn.
Yeah.
She was great. She was a great character. She had development. She was interesting.
Yeah.
I loved her relationship with Beastman.
Yeah.
Like, that was great.
She actually had a good relationship with Orko towards the end.
She had this whole thing with Orko. Which was great. Orko was pretty. I mean, Kevin Smith deliberately tried to make Orko redeemed, and I think he did.
I think he did a great job.
Well, he did what they should do with those characters, which is give them a little pathos. And it was like with goofy looking ass old Loki.
Yeah,
you give them that moment where they're awesome.
Yeah.
This is what they never did with Jar Jar. They did it with Dobby. They did it with Orko. You give them that moment where they do something cool and awesome, and then you know what? They pay the price.
Yeah. I mean, shit, he made me care about Cringer, and I never liked Cringer.
Yeah, Cringer was meh.
Yeah. The problems I had with it was they do this thing where, so they the show is just filled with puns that you're just
the
like.
The first, okay.
Oh my
God. I think it's really the first two episodes are really heinous.
Yes, they're bad.
And then they kind of move away from that. And it's clearly deliberate. Especially in the flashback stuff, it's supposed
to be Filmation.
It's supposed, and in fact, the flashback stuff is more. There's some stuff in the current timeline that's almost played straight. Like that, all that stuff with Triclops' dialogue, where he's doing these robots, like that was inappropriate. But the flashback stuff, they're kind of doing Arnold quips.
Action
hero quips.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
You know, Merman gets thrown in the ocean. You're all wet, Merman.
Yeah.
You know, and it's supposed to be corny.
It's
and
supposed
dumb.
To be corny and cheesy.
And I got that.
And they even at one point Teela and what's her face? I can't think of her.
Arda.
When they come back from the flashback, Arda's like, "Did he really say that?" And Teela's like,
"Yeah, they tried to
he
lampshade.
Was a teenage kid. He didn't get out a whole lot."
Yeah, they lampshade some of the stupider things as they go along, which doesn't work because it's still stupid.
Yes.
But,
I had a problem with a lot of the ideas in the show were really strong.
There was one central concept which was there all along. I don't think it got the development. It would have made more. I think it would have been a more interesting show in general, which was the idea, because as I've always said, Masters is all this shit thrown together.
Yes, science, magic.
Science and magic and blah, blah, blah. And in this show, it's almost like a background. I mean, it's important to the plot, but it's not super important. Where there's an actual conflict between technology and magic.
Yes.
To me, that was fascinating.
Yeah.
And I wanted more of that.
Yeah.
Like, Triclops kind of took over, and he was a techno cult.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Sorceress and Grayskull, and magic was dying, and it was like technology's turn at the bat.
Except Triclops had one of the worst lines in the whole show.
Well, he had some of these puns that were like not...
Live or diode! I'm live like, or diode. Oh my god, stop.
Thank Cog or something.
Who wrote this shit?
Yeah, that stuff was inappropriate and awful. Somebody's
like, well, Kevin Smith wrote it. No, Kevin Smith had a room full of writers write this fucking show.
Yeah, well,
and somebody in there was like, hey, this would be great. No.
I don't know. Smith does a lot of weed these days. So maybe not. He did write that. Although that same episode has like a legitimately like
disturbing.
Freaky.
Yeah.
I did not see that. And the irony is, you know, there's a lot of political complaining about the show and its ideology. And because of that, I actually like lowered my guard and said, oh, this is how it's going to go. And this guy will get taken out.
The dad's going to get saved. The dad'll
get lost. But they'll save the little girl because she's a girl.
No.
Oh, my God. Now, we're not going to spoil it. Oops, no.
Oops, no. No, it didn't happen. No. Didn't happen at all.
That was some freaky anime shit, man.
I feel like they keep glossing over the fact that Teela in the lore is, in fact, Sorceress's daughter.
They don't gloss over that. They literally all but tell her.
I know, but that's the thing, is they keep glossing to the point where they're like, they almost tell her, and then they always stop Teela short Lynn of telling.
Literally interrupts her from saying that.
I know, and I'm like, oh, just tell her who she is for the fucking
love of God. But that's gotta be, okay, here's...
That's going to be the end. She's going to ascend to the Sorceress role. I don't think so.
I think she's going to take over from Adam. I think she's going to be the next champion.
Well... Oh, that'll piss a lot of fucking people off. Well, holy shit.
Somebody's got to be the next champion.
I don't think Adam's going to die, though, because, spoiler alert, Adam comes back from the dead, and so does Skeletor, and then Skeletor stabs his ass through the fucking gut from behind before he becomes Skele-God.
Yeah.
I thought, so the concept of Scareglow and the Shadow Beast being in charge of Subeternia was kind of neat.
Well, so... I think one of my few advantages going into this is that I don't really know a lot of the deep lore. I know the basics, but I don't know the deep lore. Because I know you were like, Preternia is not heaven.
Yeah, I was like, Preternia
is not. Isn't Preternia like...
Preternia is like a time in history
for Eternia. Yeah, it's like prehistory Eternia, right?
Preternia is where the Horde Wars, where they basically drove the Horde into Etheria.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, but in this, Preternia is heaven.
Yeah.
And it's got... But it's got the Eternia playset, even though it's pre-Eternia.
Well, that's where the Eternia playset came from, was pre-Eternia.
Oh, really?
In the mini comic for the playset.
All I know is the monorail is brittle.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if Sub-Eternia is supposed to be hell. Wasn't Sub-Eternia like the other side of the planet or some shit?
Yeah, Sub-Eternia is. I'm not.
Isn't
sure
the whole thing is like there's like the dark side of the planet where all the bad guys live?
But that's not Sub-Eternia. I'm not sure what the lore is in Sub-Eternia. It's covered in the Dark Horse books. I know a lot, but I don't know for sure.
I mean,
Scareglow was a very interesting character for the time he was on screen. He was all right.
Again, like that's one of those things that's always confused me about that character. I don't understand his concept.
I like that Triclops had Trapjaw, had robotized Whiplash, and then had the one character with the most amazing master's flaw of all master's flaws. Where he's literally designed to blow up, being Blast Attack.
Yeah, at one point I was like, is this guy created by Dr. Doofenshmirtz? Because he's got a giant self-destruct button on his chest.
This is beautiful. God bless the design flaw. What's interesting is I've seen a lot of people be pissed that like the villains drove Bashosauruses, and everybody's like, Thur, Bashosaurus is not a bad guy vehicle, Thur. And it's like, why can't it be? Because
it's not.
But why can't it be?
Because it's not.
The heroes and the villains both use sky sleds in the show.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So why the fuck can't the villains use Bashosauruses?
Because the good guy vehicle, sir. It violates continuity.
Ugh.
It's your favorite. You know what it is? It's your favorite thing. Non-canonical.
Yeah, non-canonical.
Non-canonical. Non-canonical.
I love that episode of Bob's Burgers so much. I know.
That is a great episode.
It's one of the greatest episodes they've ever written.
That has replaced King of the Hill as the best show I don't watch.
Yes. But yeah, I mean, the I don't know. We watched all 5 episodes. I'm going to watch the other 5 because I'm curious to see where they take it. I think Dave's right. I think Teela, if we're wrong, I'd be surprised. But I think Teela's going to become the next champion. I did find that interesting in Pre-Eternia that Pre-Eternia is the place for all the previous Eternian champions go. So we got Vicor in animated form. We got Wundar in animated form. We got technically the Filmation version of King Grayskull. People were really pissed about the race swapping on that, but I'm like,
I thought you said there was no Filmation version of King Grayskull.
What I'm saying is we got a Filmation version of King Grayskull.
Yeah, but it's not...
It's not Filmation. It's not, just Filmation lore.
Sort of Filmation lore.
As some old version of Sorceress. Of a Sorceress.
I'm sure the fans know what that is.
Yeah.
There was a lot... aside from the puns, there was a lot of Easter eggs. There was a lot of... And the thing that I recognized and I clapped.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, there were the hover sleds from the movie.
It seemed like a lot of the actors that took roles, they gave them specific lines from their shows they were famous in.
The things from the... like Mark Hamill had a Star Wars line.
Yeah. What's his face that played Man at Arms had a Game of Thrones line.
Had a literal he's the guy who
bends the knee to Sir Bellamy. Yeah,
I can't remember his name. He's the old dude who's in love with what's her face, the white haired chick with the dragons.
Right.
He says bend the knee, and he's the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that. There was a lot of like actually quoting not the file cards, but the backer cards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, you're a real warrior goddess. You're a real blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fan service, which, you know, and again, as someone who's not a fan of Masters, I'm picking up on this shit.
Yeah, like, and you're like,
I don't know. I don't know if fans are going to enjoy that or feel patronized. I think once or twice it's cute. At a certain point, I was like, wow, they are just
It is not my favorite Masters series.
Like I said,
I'm going to finish watching it when they release part two, I think in a couple months. I'll finish watching it because I want to watch it. I want to see how it ends.
The thing is,
I might come away with it going, okay, well, the last five episodes made up for the first five episodes.
Wow. That's interesting that you say made up for, because
there was a lot.
I didn't hate it.
No, I know. And I'm not saying it's. We both agreed that it's not completely terrible. But there are parts of the first five episodes that were not great.
No.
Voice acting-wise, writing-wise, even animation-wise, some of the animation, I'm like, some of it looked really cool. Like, the Shadow Beasts gave me a very cool kind of heavy metal vibe, the way they were animated.
Yeah, sure.
But the animation company that does that, sometimes the mixture of the CG vehicles with the cel-shaded style characters really kind of throws you out of the loop for a minute.
You know, I'm a child of the 80s. I grew up with Filmation and Sunbow. You gotta be really bad.
Yeah, I know.
To bother me.
For the most part, the animation was really spot on.
It was fine. It did what it did.
Yeah.
I guess I liked it more than you. That's weird. I really thought you were going to be Mr. Positive.
But like I said, there's things I really love about the show. I like a lot of the ideas behind the story.
I think they're fascinating.
I think it was an interesting way to take things.
I was more interested in the story about the war between magic and technology.
Yes.
That was fascinating to me.
But I think using the death of He-Man and Skeletor as a way to basically almost take all the magic away from Eternia and basically give them this...
Yeah, change the status quo.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been... I think if it had been that as opposed to Teela's journey, it would have been more interesting.
Yeah.
Personally, I think. Like, you take away the... You know, it's like a world without the U.S. and Russia. Like, you take away the superpowers, what happens then?
Yeah, exactly.
So I
did love... So, when He-Man's getting ready to die, and he basically uses the Sword of Power as a conduit to take in all this energy from...
The orb.
That was their first mistake.
Yeah. It should have been a cube.
Taking all this energy from the orb or also to destroy all the universe. So he uses the sword as a conduit. And as He-Man, he utters the magic words again and basically reverts himself and Battle Cat back to Cringer and Adam. And everyone sees him as Adam that didn't know he was Adam, like Teela. And especially the villain, Skeletor's like, he's a boy.
He's just a boy.
That was fascinating to me because when Skeletor comes back, he basically, you know...
He murders him.
Yeah, well, we don't know that for sure, but he fucks him up pretty bad.
Stabs him through the torso. To be fair, the spot the spear goes through is kind of in a nebulous zone where, you know, like, because it's not, like, obviously through his heart.
Right.
Or his lungs.
Yeah.
It's kind of lower.
Through his lower right side.
So it's like, he could survive that.
One of the other things I kind of was like, so... Man-at-Arms Duncan has had this, you know, loyal patronage to King Randor for decades. And, you know, they lose He-Man, and then Duncan has to go back and tell the king, sorry, we lost He-Man. Marlena knows that Adam is He-Man.
Yeah. And they telegraphed that earlier.
Yeah, they telegraphed that earlier, but then he's like, well, then, you know, his sacrifice will be, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, we also lost our son. And he's like, that's nonsense. Adam's fine. Duncan, right? And he looks at Duncan, and immediately, like, I get grieving father style, but he, like, fucking kicks Duncan off the force, bans him from the
kicks
palace.
Kicks him off the force. Bans your badge and your laser arm.
Bans him from the palace, tells him if he ever comes back, he'll be executed. And he orders Teela to take him out, and that's when Teela's like, no, fuck you, I'm done with all of you guys. And that's when we both were like, ugh, yeah. Really?
Our main character, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. That kind of, I was like, really, King Randor, really? Like, you just had a line earlier in the show where Duncan was showing all this beaming pride because Teela was becoming the new man at arms. And Prince Adam has the line of, well, Duncan's beaming with pride. And Randor's like, it's fatherly pride. It's something I hope to one day have in you, son. Yeah, and you're like,
yeah, but the iron.
And then he finds out his son is He-Man, and he immediately is like, fuck you, Duncan, you're out.
That's not why he kicked Duncan out. He kicked Duncan out because He-Man died.
Well,
and
Adam
Duncan
died.
Didn't protect him.
Well, I was just assume, like, really?
I mean, I assume King Randor wasn't.
I think he was more
big...
pissed that Duncan never told him that Adam was
He-Man.
Oh,
my God. I know. All these people having these fucking fits because Adam never told them.
I know, right?
The whole reason he didn't tell him is the classic, I don't want you people to be in danger shit.
I did, I know, Teela's friend was not irritating.
Arda?
Yeah,
she's
was
okay.
She was all right. She was kind of a technical wizard. Roboto was a great character.
Roboto was okay.
Roboto was technically their version of Vision.
A little Vision, a little Data.
Yeah, yeah. I liked a lot of the nods. The original series was fun. Seeing the Eternia playset in an animated form was cool.
That was crazy.
That was neat. And then getting to see characters like Wondar.
Wondar was funny.
Yeah,
I liked that scene.
Wondar was Russian.
I didn't pick up on that.
Had a Russian accent. That was a terrible Russian accent. But seeing
he's
him,
very bad accent.
Seeing Vikor, which was cool, because that's kind of a nod. Like, people are like, the people in charge of this show are not Masters fans. I quote,
somebody somewhere
was.
Either
fucking,
was or did their homework.
Yeah, they did their fucking homework.
And again, as a non-Masters fan, there was a lot of fucking detail.
Vikor was such a great, pleasant surprise, because I'm like, that was He-Man before He-Man. That was what they, you know. Original sculpt was Vikor.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Shit like that's cool. Like, I love stuff like that. I think,
I like seeing the dinosaur toys.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. But like I said, a lot of the writing in the show is
wasn't
just...
the raptor the sorceress lady was writing was from 2000X, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. Like shit like that was like, there was, they did either, they, either someone legitimately is a fan or they did their homework.
Yeah.
Either way, you know, impresses me.
For all the shit that Kevin Smith was like, I'm a fan, I'm not a fan, I'm a fan, I'm not a fan. Somebody in the writer's room, whether it was the whole writer's room or not, were
Kevin
fans.
Smith didn't write everything. Kevin Smith didn't animate everything.
Kevin Smith was an editor and a showrunner. Like,
Showrunners
don't usually have a lot of hands-on. They get final say on scripts, but...
I mean, what he should have said at the beginning is, you know, I was never a fan.
Yeah.
But I went back and I took a look and it kind of hooked me.
The lore is what hooked me.
Yeah. Because that's... The story that I always go back to is the guy, I can't remember, I think it's either Harvey Bennett or Nicholas Meyer. I can't remember which one. One of the guys they hired to do Wrath of Khan.
Right.
Because the whole thing was, the first movie actually made, people forget, the first movie made money.
Yes.
But it cost a ton of money. So they brought in, I can't remember if it's Meyer or Burnett, but they brought him in and he'd done TV.
Yeah.
I said, can you make another movie for like less than $30 million? And he had never watched Star Trek. He was, nowadays we'd be like, it's an outrage. He's not a Star Trek fan.
Oh, boo.
Which, you know, Bad Robot.
Or
whatever it's called, the other one.
J.J. Abrams?
Secret Clubhouse.
Oh, yeah.
The guys who do Discovery.
Yeah.
But, like, his thing was, he sat down, he watched every single episode.
Right.
He was like, okay, what works, what doesn't work. You know, he came in with a fresh perspective. And I think that's something that the fandom doesn't always appreciate, is that bringing in someone from the outside with a fresh perspective can be just as good, if not better, than having someone who's a super mega fanboy who knows all the obscure lore.
Right.
Because they also know when to change shit.
Yes.
Like it didn't. Like, you're like, well, Preternia is Eternian history. I'm like, they needed a Valhalla.
Yeah, and that technically was Valhalla for them, which was kind of cool.
And
so.
It was fine.
Fuck, I was even okay with King Grayskull's race swap, honestly. I'm like... He's such a minor character when it comes to...
They got a good voice actor for him.
Yeah, I mean, the 2000X version used him in a episode, and it was just, like, to show that he pushed the Horde back, and that was it. Like, Hero even got fucking animated in this episode, which was awesome.
That was weird to me because I didn't realize there were two characters.
Oh, because there is a character called Hero that is He-Man's son.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's the one with Eldor, right? Hero and Eldor are supposed to be He-Man's son, and no, then Eldor is the...
Hero and Eldor were pre-Eternia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's pre-Eternia.
I don't know this shit.
Which I'm kind of surprised we didn't get an Eldor. Maybe we will eventually, but... I know, like, there were nods to the movie, to the live-action movie.
Yeah, I mentioned the
flying discs. Yeah. From what I understand, there's more nods to the movie coming.
Yes, the last episode I thought was supposed to be... Yeah. I guess my confusion was we only got 5 episodes and I've seen the list for all 10.
Yeah.
Because the final episode's supposed to be a nod to the movie.
Yes.
And I always thought that maybe He-Man had gotten banished to Earth, which would have been cool. As long as we get the cow. And you know what? I honestly think we might get the cow. Because the way this show is going, with all that level of detail.
Right. I was looking for... What would that be called? Like, what were they...
Kevin Smith?
No,
Kevin Smith He-Man movie list? Is that what you're going for?
Yeah.
I know one was supposed to be Hellraiser, which I think was the one in Subternia.
Yeah. I know that there was... I don't remember. He released it, or...
He did. That was the whole thing.
Yeah, I know.
He was like, hey, these are... One was, I think... They were all 80s films. That was part of the shtick. One was Batman.
Yes. Yeah, one was Batman. One was...
One was Batman. One was Hellraiser. One was the...
Oh, here we go. Pays homage.
Pays homage.
So, the episodes... Let's see. Episode 1 was Superman 2. Okay, I could see that. Episode 2 was Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Episode 3 was Batman 89.
What happened in Episode 3? That was the one with the Techno Temple, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or episode 4... Mountain. No, that was Episode 2.
Yeah. Episode 4 was a Hellraiser homage. Yep, I can see that. And Episode 5 was the 87 movie, which...
Oh, okay. That I don't quite get.
No. So, it's interesting. Yeah, that's my thoughts on it. We'll revisit it when the next 5 episodes pop up, and finish the series off. But I mean, overall, I enjoyed it. There were parts I liked and parts I didn't. Again, like I said, the writing's not great in a lot of it.
The dialogue's really cheesy.
The overall story is actually pretty damn. Intriguing.
I'm more interested in the stuff happening on the fringes than the central thing, because the central thing is the, there's the apocalypse which is going to end the world. Will they save the world? Yes, they will save the world,
yes.
Virginia.
Yes.
Skeletor's God, Skeletor, will they defeat him?
Yes. Yes, they will.
My guess now is Evil Lyn will play a big role in defeating Skeletor.
Yeah.
Because she'll be the Snape. She'll be the one on the inside who ends up...
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I really liked her. I liked Beastman. I liked Orko. I thought they did a good job with Orko.
Yeah.
I liked Arda. I thought she was going to be obnoxious. She wasn't. The only character I really did not like was Teela, who was... And even, you know what? After like the second episode, she was better.
Yeah, she gets better as the show goes on.
I thought she was going to be this insufferable jerk the whole way through. And she gets over it pretty much by the third episode. She's still a little bit of a bitch to Adam in Valhalla. But she gets over.
She does have one really great moment while she's facing Scareglow.
Yeah.
Where she's like, she basically takes ownership of all that. I think that's where the character kind of really flips, even though she's still a bitch to Adam when they get to Pre-Eternia, but she kind of flips as a character when she was like, I'm owning everything about me. My anger, my fear, all of it, because... And that's when she like does this glowy thing, and he's like, "What are you?" Because even he realizes, "Oh, you're not normal."
Yeah.
So that's good. We'll see what happens the first 5 episodes. But I mean, do what we did: go watch it, formulate your own opinion, and then decide if you want to watch it the rest of it.
I mean, keep in mind again for like the 5th time in this review, yeah. I am not a fan. I am not target audience.
Yeah,
I think if you listen to the podcast enough, you kind of get a sense of my leanings culturally.
Yep,
I thought this was okay.
Yeah.
Like I'm not gonna say I loved it. I thought it was okay. I thought it was interesting. There was a lot there that I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, there you go, guys. That'll wrap up the show for this week. We'll be back next week with more San Diego Comic-Con talk, I imagine, as well as talk about Snake Eyes, G.I. Joe origin story. So,
also,
make sure you tune in then. And until next time, David.
You don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.